Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to us, Lord. You know what's going on in our life and how we feel. So comfort us with your word. Encourage us with your living word. And equip us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A young couple moved into a new neighborhood. The next morning, while they were eating their breakfast together, the young woman saw her neighbor hanging her wash to dry. "That laundry is not very clean," she said. "She doesn't know how to wash it correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap or liquid." Her husband looked on, but remained silent. Every time her neighbor hung her wash to dry, the young woman repeated her observations about the dirty laundry. About 1 month later, the woman was surprised to see a nice clean wash on the line and said to her husband, "Look, she has learned how to wash it correctly. I wonder who taught her this." The husband said, "My darling, I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows." In life, what you see is important. Equally is crucial is how you see what you see. What you see depends more on what is in us than what is in front of us. Is that true? Am I talking too philosophical? No. So what you see depends more on what is in us than what is in front of us. So we don't know much about Bartimaeus except in this story. He hasn't mentioned anywhere else. We don't know about his age, or how long he's been blind, or what caused his blindness. We know nothing about his family either, his friends, or his past life. All we know, because the impact that Jesus had on him. That's all we know. And they also know his father's name because he's called Timaeus. Son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means. Bar means son. And Timaeus. It's very interesting. When he heard that Jesus walking past, he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." That cry is a very desperate cry. Very desperate. We see ourselves that cry too, don't we? We see in our life situation, sometimes we cry out like Bartimaeus too. "Son of David, have mercy on me. How long these things that I have to go through? How long that I have to go through this arthritis? How long the pain in my back, my legs, my breathlessness in my lungs, the cataracts in my eyes? I've been suffering for many years. Won't you make me well, Son of David? Have mercy on me." Sometimes we cry like, I am slave to these habits, these lusts, the passions of this world. I don't want to do, but I end up doing it anyway. I keep doing the same things. I can't get out of this. I'm slave to these habits, which keeping me away from reaching out to you. Son of David, won't you heal me? Rescue me from these problems. Have mercy on me. Sometimes we cry like, I'm full of bitterness, resentment. I'm been holding on from my childhood. I can't forgive this particular person. It's so heavy on me. I don't know how to move forward. No medication that cure me. And I'm so feeling angry within myself. Son of David, won't you make me well? Have mercy on me. Maybe you also cry like, I am tired of pretending. If I show myself real, nobody may not like me. I'm tired trying to be someone else. I'm anxious. I keep an eye on my brothers, on my sister, on my friend, on my neighbor, so that I am not falling behind on the ladder of success. Son of David, have mercy on me. Or we may cry like, Lord, I tried to follow you, but not wholeheartedly. Because if I have to follow you exactly what you ask me to do, I may have to lose something. So I failed to grasp the joy of salvation which comes from letting go. So, Son of David, have mercy on me. We hear this cry everyday life sometimes, don't we? Either from within us or from somebody else that we know. And then we hear the collective cry from the world. As we know, we have more than enough food to feed the whole world. But a quarter of the population go hungry. They cry out, can my children be fed? Can we be full? Son of David, feed us. Help us. They cry out. And we also have more than enough weapons in the world to destroy the world. And yet, we are powerless to stop inventing new ones. Son of David, have mercy on our world. What can we do? We are powerless. How do we bring peace into this world? And then we cry, Lord, because of our greed and our selfish needs, that we destroy your creation. We fail to recognize the responsibility to be a good steward of your creation. And now we hear the news of we are melting away, global warming. What do we do, Son of David? Have mercy on us. Can you hear the sound? We can hear from people. Collective cry and the individual cry. Have I made you depressed enough this morning? But there is a hope. The good news is, in all this feeling of hopelessness, God in His mercy walks among us and offers us hope and helps us to see the world that He sees it. Helps us to see the world the way He sees it. It happened to Bartimaeus. It happened to Jesus' disciples. It will happen to you and me. So when he got the attention of crying out, son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody trying to shut him up. Because in the Bible it tells you very politely. But actually that's the equivalent of shut up. You pain, whatever it is. Be quiet. But he shouted even louder. He shouted even louder, I don't care. I know what I need. I can see something that what you don't see. I can see something where everybody else failed to see. He called Son of David. And then once he got the attention from Jesus, and they took him to Jesus, and Jesus ironically asked him, what do you want me to do for you? It's like, the whole crowd heard me. Why didn't you not hear me? It's like almost like a patronizing question, right? What do you want me to do for you? As if that he wasn't hearing first time, so he wanted to hear again. Unless he switched off his hearing aid, so he switched back on, battered on out. Now, oh, tell me again, what did he say? Do you think that God didn't hear him? So why did he ask him, what do you want me to do for you? Interestingly, the same chapter, this is the second time he asked the same question. What do you want me to do for you? One before and earlier, in the same chapter, he asked his disciples, because they were arguing each other, who is going to be the greatest. So they were asking, Jesus, we need to ask you a favor. You know, when we go into your kingdom, you know, who can you give us a place, you know, special place where we can sit right and where we can sit and left? That's what they answered him back when Jesus asked, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? In both cases, Jesus knew what they're asking for. Yeah? But he wanted to ask him again. Ask them again so that it reveals their heart what they really want. Sometimes the way you pray, it reveals your priority. It reveals your heart. The way we cry out reveals what you really want. The way we worship reveals what kind of God that you believe in. And here is totally opposite to those two disciples responded to Jesus' question, what do you want from me? For disciples, it revealed their inner motive because they wanted a power, a status. That's what they really wanted. But here, Bartimaeus wanted to see. Bartimaeus cried for mercy. When Jesus asked that question, it enabled him to look into himself and see himself how Jesus saw him. Because Jesus heard him for the first time when he cried. That's how Jesus got his attention. But by asking that question, he asked him, look at yourself. I know exactly what you want. And I'm going to deal with you. There is something about asking God in desperation that reveals your heart to God. Because Bible scripture tells us, even before the words on your mouth, he knows altogether. So you don't have to pray in that sense. But you pray because as you pray, it reveals what you really, it molds you as you pray, your relationship with that guy. With that person. Here is a man who cast aside by the society, physically blind, but saw Jesus clearly than his disciples, than the crowd. He was blind, but he saw Jesus clearly than anybody in that time. Similar to an unnamed woman in the summer before things who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Do you remember the story? He touched Jesus' garment, secretly came and she touched him. The similarity of this story is neither of them had good friends. Neither of them, their friends, brought them to Jesus. Both were pushed on the edge of the society. But both took bold initiative. And in the end, both were commanded by Jesus with the same words, "Your faith has made you well." There's something, the way we pray reveals our faith too. The person that you trust on. The way we pray, it reveals your faith, your belief in that person. So, here's my question. What did Bartimaeus saw in Jesus? What did Bartimaeus see in Jesus? He called himself Son of David. You see, in our world where appearances and looks are more important than anything else, I can only hear from the experience of looking at my teenagers in my house. They spend more time with the mirror than the real people. Yeah? They spend half of their life in the teenage lifetime, spend time with the mirror than with the real people. I don't know about your children, and I'm not going to name anybody. If only that mirror has got a voice. But he was nobody because he can't see. He can't see because we judge people by looking, don't we? We can just see who that minister is by looking at that person is. You can look at that person, the way they dress, the way they speak. You just make a judgment out of that person, don't you? That's what we are depending on, the way how they look. But this guy can't see. He didn't see Jesus physically. So how he looked, what accent he's got, or what kind of background he's come from. He just heard. And he responded. And the way they responded is, "Son of David." Nobody knew this title other than Peter and the devil. This is the first time that he reveals that. Son of David, this is about the future. This is the guy they've been looking forward to all along. He claimed to see something that nobody else aware about it, even though he was blind. He saw hope, not just for his situation. He saw hope for the world. That's what the Messiah, he said, "Son of David, King of Israel, you are the line that we've been hoping for." And he saw it. And it still puzzled me. How did this blind man saw it? But nobody else see that. He saw the solution for all the human strivings. Do you know the story in the Old Testament? Where these 12 spies went to look for, you know, what the Canaan looked like. And the people leader, they sent him to go and look at this place that where God promised us that milk and honey is going to go. Go and see, spy it out before we go and conquer, because this is the promise God has given us. And the 12 of them went, and the majority told them, "Oh my goodness, I saw the giants. I saw the problems. I saw the scary things happening in that place. No way that we can go." Except the one, two. They saw something different. Both of them looked at the same situation, but they responded differently. Yeah? These two, the only two said, "No, I can see there's lots of good thing there. I can see our God is better, bigger than those giants." They encouraged him. In fact, they were excited about things. How could you, two group of people looking at the same thing, one responded totally opposite? And that's what I say, the way we see things, it depends on who you look at. That's what Bartimaeus saw, hope. And the second is, Bartimaeus saw God's grace in that. Because you know, especially when I said the before one, everyone tried to get to the first place. Better than everyone else. So you can't make mistakes. You can't afford to make mistakes. And people may have accused him, this Bartimaeus, hey, the reason that you are blind, possibly because you are a terrible person. Or maybe your parents were. Or possibly your forefathers. It's your sin that cost you this. That's what the major solution. That's what the people, majority of the people would have thought. Because he was blind. Bartimaeus didn't try to defend his corner. And he approached the Son of David saying, in you, there is no judgment. In you, I can afford to admit my mistakes. Confess my sin. Acknowledge that we are wrong. Because here, in Jesus, we know that our life does not depend on being right, but on the righteousness of Jesus. Our life depends on the grace of God, not our right or wrongs. In a world of ethical, you know, the situational ethics that we got at the moment, where if it feels good, do it. Where morality is determined by majority vote. Goodness and righteousness are good if they are good for me. That's what the world thing measures things. But Bartimaeus saw in Jesus is a place where right and wrong are measured by the grace of God and his holiness. That's what he saw, and that's why he boldly approached that Jesus. He could have shied away saying, maybe I'll look for another opportunity. I can ask for Jesus. He sees the moment. Even others are told him to shut up. He shouted louder. And my final point was, Bartimaeus saw it's worth investing my time with this person while he was blind. The relationship. When Jesus called him, he left everything. He didn't own much, but he owns his clothes. His cloaks. And he left and he jumped and went to Jesus. Unlike just a few verses before, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He's saying, I've done everything good. What do I do to inherit the eternal life? Jesus saw there's one thing missing. You didn't leave everything behind. Can you sell things and come back to me? And he went sad. He said he couldn't leave everything behind because he had a great wealth. This is opposite. This is the little things that you owned left everything. Bartimaeus went to Jesus. And the way he persisted with that shout reflects that his conviction, even without his seeing that person. You don't persist with somebody if you don't have that conviction, would you? You don't persist with someone unless you know that person has got something that you want. And that's what Bartimaeus knew, even before he saw. And he knows the prayer approaching Jesus is not just crossing your fingers, hoping for the best to happen in your life. It's not that the prayer is like a last act of desperation. But he invested even before he saw Jesus physically, his time. Here, his prayer is not just something you do because it makes you feel good, but something that actually changes inside and outside. That's what he saw. This is similar to a Zacchaeus story. You know Zacchaeus, the short man? It's a similar story in Luke 3. Both wanted to see Jesus. Both were physically restricted to see Jesus. One was blind, as we see. The other one was very too short. But both made an effort to see. One climbed the tree. I wanted to see Jesus in a way that nobody else saw. That's what Jesus noticed him, Zacchaeus. His life changed inside out too. There's so many people saw Jesus on that day, but Zacchaeus saw it differently. Jesus, and Jesus called him, I want to have a dinner with you. He wanted to have a relationship with you. And that's exactly the relationship that Jesus looks for, that God looks for you. Not just like a one-time miracle. They built a relationship. Bartimaeus, after he received that sight, he followed Jesus to Jerusalem. Not just going to somewhere else. Jerusalem, that's where the danger, that's where Jesus eventually going to be killed. That's where he followed. Because he invested his time. I'm going to leave you with this question. Bartimaeus is among us too. And he uses the same word. Do you see what I see? What do you see? Do you see the problems? Do you see there is no way out? Do you see your debts are mounting up? Do you see there is no hope? Do you see the doctors who have diagnosed you? There is no way out. You see, it would be tempting to see Bartimaeus is the heroic example of faith. It would be tempting to see that. Because he was unwilling to give up his conviction. He had this courage. He hung in there. He hung on there when others had discouraged him. You could say like this. If you believe hard enough, if you have a persistent enough, if you are sufficient enough, if you are strong enough, then you will not be disappointed. Then you will be healed. Then you will be saved. No, that's not the story tells us. What is going on in this story is, yes, Bartimaeus is a key figure. He is key figure because of his relationship with Jesus. He followed him until the end. Bartimaeus was responding to Jesus when he heard. When he heard that Jesus was walking past, he responded quickly. He didn't postpone it. He didn't say, I will wait for the next moment. Once I got my permanent job, I will do these certain things. Or once I got married, then I'll do something. Or once I passed my GCSE exams for the particular grade, then I'll do certain things. Or once I bought a new house or a different place, then I will do certain things. As soon as he heard that Jesus was walking past, he cried out, Jesus. It is in that response to what he has heard about Jesus that Bartimaeus dares to come to this conclusion, this outrageous conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah, that he can heal him. So what do we do now as we heard this story? What is the application for us? As we go out after we eat the cake after the service, what are you going to do with this? What God is telling you today? You see, obstacles to see is not blindness. It is illusion that you can already see. Obstacles to see is not blindness. Because God can heal blind. But the problem is they claim they can see already. So let's come to Jesus saying, Lord, here I am. I want to cry with Bartimaeus. Help me to see you in the midst of chaos. What's going on in our life? When we need, next time you read Bible, open the scripture, take a little notebook next to you, right? Just pray. Lord, bring your situation before God. This is what I'm struggling. Yeah? And then, pick up a story in the book of Bible, read it, and read it again with your situation in your mind. See what God is saying to you. Write it down. Yeah? And then, pray this prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Yeah? What do you want me to do for you? Don't wait for that healing. What do you want me to do for you? Because sometimes when we are doing it, you see it. What God is already doing. Yeah? When we are doing it, sometimes you stumble upon and then say, oh, I can see what God is already doing. Don't wait for God to open your eyes. Just start doing it. Then you know you will discover God's plan in your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come and take your place in my heart. Maybe let's say a prayer together. Whatever the way that you wanted to say, open my eyes to see you. That's what Elisha prayed. Elisha prayed for his servant, saying, open my servant's eyes so that he would see those who are for us are stronger than those who are against us. So Lord, I pray for the people here. You open their eyes to see you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.